In your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, in the fifth chapter, and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, verse we're on. Wherefore be ye not unwise. It is unwise to not walk in the ways of the Lord. It's unwise to not walk as a follower of God. We are His children, and to not walk as following God, imitating God, as children do, it is unwise. It is unwise to be walking in the works of darkness, which we've been delivered from, we've been called from, we've been called to be different. So it is unwise to walk that way. It is unwise not to be redeeming the time. It's unwise not to be making use of every opportunity that we have to be of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's called us unto. He's called us unto good works. And those works are works that are being performed in honor and glory of Him and of service to Him. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. It is unwise to not understand the will of the Lord. The unwise can't understand the will of the Lord. They cannot understand the ways of the Lord, because those things are spiritually discerned, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us. They're discerned by the Spirit of God. And so the unwise, the workers of darkness, those without Christ, they can't understand what the will of the Lord is. They can't walk in those will. We're not to be as the unwise. We're not to be as those walking in works of darkness. That's not walking in the will of the Lord. That's not walking as though we understand anything of the will of the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Book of Mark in chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse 35. Jesus speaking said, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother." In other words, Jesus is saying there, the ones that are my family, my brothers and sisters, my mother and fathers, are the ones that do the will of God. In another place, He said, "If you hear my words and do them." You see, we know what the will of God is because we hear the words of God. We hear the words of Jesus. And so we know what His will is. But He says, do them. Do it. And another place in the book of John chapter 14 in verse 15, Jesus said to His apostles and to His church primarily there, "If you love me,
keep my commandments. He that loveth me will do the will of the Father. He that loveth me keepeth my commandments, he says. Turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 12, which again is revealing to us the will of God, the will of the Lord, where we're instructed, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, to understanding what the will of the Lord is, we'll be walking as dear children of God, following God. We'll be loving as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Will not be walking in the works of darkness, and those works that have been named here in this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians.
In fact, our Sunday school material encouraged us this week to prayerfully and thoughtfully read over Ephesians chapter 5 and think upon those things. There. Good
advice to the child of God.
We're to be different. If we understand the will of God. The will of God has called us to be different. The will of God is that we do these things. Verse 2, he said, and be not conformed to this world. Listen up, Christian. Stop being conformed to the world. That's a commandment we've been given. That's the will of God. God's will is not, God doesn't desire to see his children being conformed to the world. The world is against him. The world persecuted him. The world crucified him. He said, and the world will do the same to you. He said, it hated me before it hated you. Our ways, because they're pleasing to the Lord, are ways that the world's not going to like. They're going to hate. Why aren't they going to like them? Because it's going to make them feel the guilt of their sin. So they're not going to like us. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's the will of God. Maybe the problem is we have a lot of Christians today that are so-called Christians. They've never been transformed. They've never been changed. In other words, they never really had a real experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Real experience brings about repentance and faith. Remember that day when you were so tore up over your sin and you knew that you were going to hell? You knew that you were going to hell. Unless Jesus would save you, unless Jesus would grant to you repentance and faith, unless he'd grant to you eternal life, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, when these things taking place in our lives, then we are proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are actually walking and understanding of what the will of the Lord is. That's what we're being admonished in
Ephesians chapter 5. We're admonished in Ephesians chapter 5. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So don't walk in fornication. Don't walk in all uncleanness. Don't walk in covetousness. Which covetousness has to be the principal one. We're not satisfied with what we have and who we are. And that's a great sin before God. It's idolatry. We're not to have filthiness and foolish talking and all that is not to be a part of who we are. We're to be loving. We're to have agape in our hearts. We're to have agape in our hearts one for another. We're to have agape in our hearts even for those who are without Christ. It is that agape which will motivate us to go up to a total stranger. Begin to declare unto them their sin. Man sinner. All men are sinners. To declare unto them Jesus Christ, the only hope, the only redemption for man. You see, in the law, in the precepts, in the commandments of God, in His Word, we have the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. We need to go to this more often. We need to shut off the TV more. We need to shut off the internet more. We need to put down the electronic handheld devices more. Those are the devices of the world. Now, granted, they can be used for good. But how much time do we just waste in mundane things on those things when we could be taking in the Word of God and letting Him speak to us? Do we really desire to please Him in all that we do? Do we really have an understanding of what His will is? Understanding the will of God is not just a mere knowledge of His Word. But you see, when we get the knowledge of His Word and then we begin to do it, then we manifest that we have an understanding. We have a good understanding. The psalmist talks about the Word of God giving him entrance, giving him light, giving him knowledge, giving him understanding. Because as he got the knowledge and then he began to do it and practice it, demonstrating he had an understanding. This is what God would have me to do. How many of us are there? How many of us understand what the Word of God is? You see, understanding is doing of that which we know. We know, and many of us would say, if we were asked something about the Word of God, we'd say, well, we know this. And we know. It says this. Well, to many it could be said, well, then why aren't we doing it? Then why aren't we doing it? Oh, but we've gotten smart today. We've gotten educated today. That doesn't mean that.
You see, there's license. Nope, that's the wrong word. There's liberty in being a Christian. Oh, but that's not what he's talking about. He said, yes, there's liberty. There's liberty. We don't have to sin. He said, only use not liberty for a license to sin. So the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus is one to, we're free to do the will of God. We're free to know the will of God, and we're free to do the will of God.
How do we do on that part? How do we do? How do we do on what we see and hear and the doing of what we see here or hear proclaimed from the Word of God? You see, if we really know it to be His will, our heart won't condemn us in it. Our heart will agree with it. And if our heart agrees with it, our faith will work it out of us. Will it not? Faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh. That it works by love.
Some want to try to say that James was preaching something entirely different than what Paul preached. But it's Paul that said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, faith which worketh by love. And then James goes and takes that principle, the same principle. You say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. Isn't that what Paul said in Galatians 5, 7? Same thing.
We have faith. It will manifest itself. So we get a knowledge of thing. It's in our heart. And faith works it out in us. And we look to the glory of God. Turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 12. And look with me here at verse 47. And the servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Y'all get the understanding of that?
We know, but we don't do.
We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Turn with me, book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. This goes right along with it. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And those sins which we willfully commit after we have a knowledge,
from the Word of God and we fail to do according to the Word of God, God is going to devour that adversary. Listen, some suppose that he's talking to unsaved people, that he's saying that about unsaved people. No, he's talking to saved people. He's talking to Hebrews who were saved and trying to show them what they have in Christ Jesus is so much better than going back into Judaism, the ways of Judaism and the laws of Judaism. What they have in Christ is so much better. And he just addressed, let us draw near unto God with a true heart and full assurance. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And how can you provoke unto love and to good works when you're not assembled together with the saints? And then he goes right into this. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received a knowledge.
We put ourselves in a precarious place. And we can look for the judgment of God to fall upon us. The Lord's will ultimately is our sanctification. Our sanctification. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed to the image of his Son. There's our sanctification. We are in the process of being conformed to the image of his Son. And if we take in the Word of God, we hear the Word of God preached, we have a knowledge of it, we don't exercise understanding in it, then he will discipline us. Why? To conform us more to the image of his Son, to produce in us what his desired will is. And that is that we be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we could say this concerning what we're reading in Ephesians and what we're studying in Ephesians chapter 5. But look at this in verse 1. Excuse me. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. Exhort you by the Lord Jesus. That as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So he's talking about how we would walk and please God. He's talking about our sanctification. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your purification, your holiness, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God.
Basically the same thing that is being said in Ephesians chapter 5, he's saying here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it's concerning our sanctification, that we put off the works of the flesh, and that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the commandment that we received of the Lord Jesus Christ, even our sanctification.
That we abstain from those lusts of the flesh. Turn with me, Psalms. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. You see, there through the word of God I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Do I? Do you? How can we read and study the word of God? How can we hear the word of God preached and then do the things we do? Can we say that we have gotten understanding through the word of God? Can we say that we're being sanctified? Yeah. We will after he's chastised us, chastened us. We will, won't we? Then he goes on to say, in the next 8 verses, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Well, some, and myself included in times past, and sometimes maybe even now, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, but I'm blind. I can't see. Isn't that the way we act? We read the word of God, and it is all those things. And then we get up from reading the word of God and seeing those things and go out and do the same thing again. Look at chapter 11 of the Psalms. And that doesn't look right. I'm wondering if I wrote that down. I think what I have wrote down here is Psalms chapter 11 and verse 10. Yeah, I didn't think that looked right. I think what it's supposed to be is Proverbs. Let me see if that makes sense. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 10. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. You understand that? When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Look at verse 12. He that is void of wisdom is unwise. Despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Did you understand what said there? He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. He's unwise. But a man of understanding, what does this mean?
You understand what neighbor is, right? It's not just somebody that lives across the road from us. It's our fellow man. How many times have you gone off on your fellow man? That's not wise. In fact,
Proverbs says he's void of wisdom. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. He doesn't get angry with his neighbor. Even if he does something that you don't think he should do. And boy, I tell you what.
That tries me. And I was glad to find out I'm not the only one that it tries. Sometimes I get so aggravated these people out here. You think they think they're the only ones parking. What makes them think they can come up here and park in our grass and block the sidewalk? And I get so aggravated with it. I know what a former pastor would have done. He just picked up the phone, called the police department, had him come out here and take care of it. I get tired of picking up the phone, calling the police, and telling them, hey, they're not parking. They're parked blocking the sidewalk. They're parking the yellow zones over here. You know, you need to send somebody out. And they will send somebody out.
But from time to time, the Lord rebukes me.
The same on you. You ought to be more concerned about finding out who it is and giving them the gospel. Finding out if they know Jesus Christ or not. And caring less about how they're parked out here. I've had people call me, are you the police? Yeah. And at that point, how am I going to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ?
You see. Proverbs chapter 14. In verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Oh, we'll let that sink in, right? He that is slow to wrath, that's what the Word of God would have us to be. The Word of God would have us to be patient, to be long-suffering, to be compassionate, merciful to our fellow man. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. He's foolish, he's void of wisdom, he's unwise. And we're not to be unwise. We're to understand what the will of the Lord is. Are we beginning to understand better? Chapter 17 and verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. He has knowledge and he uses understanding. He spares his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit.
Oh, that is when we get a knowledge of the Word of God and we really got the understanding, it controls our spirit.
You ever seen, and granted, Brother Ron, we've talked about him. Great, been a great example for many, many years. And at least the time that I really knew Brother Ron, he's a pretty even-keeled man.
You could say of him, he had a knowledge and an understanding
of how what God's Word said, which give him an understanding how God would have him to act and behave. And not that he didn't have trying time. I've heard him testify of some troubles he had passing in same type of scenario that we all wrestle with.
But see, over the years, he developed a knowledge and an understanding of the Word of God. And in the meantime, our sanctification,
you understand sanctification, don't you? There's a part of sanctification that has worked in us, sanctification before the foundation of the world. We were set apart to be in Christ Jesus, that is, to be holy unto Him. That is part of our sanctification. Part of our sanctification is being worked in us, but as we've seen in the past, that which is being worked in us by the Holy Spirit of God is to be worked out of us, and that's our responsibility. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. You and I are responsible
for our sanctification. We're working it out in our lives. And while this is going on, I got the idea that it wasn't a well-known song. We sang it a few times here. He's still working on me. The Lord is. The more that I read and study the Word of God, the more I see and the more I understand of how He would have me to behave. So much so that if you knew Seth Bourne from 50 years ago, you wouldn't think I was the same man. Praise the Lord. I don't have anything to brag there. It's the Lord. The Lord has worked in me mightily. But we're to give thanks. That's part of our sanctification too. Give thanks unto Him in everything. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 18. In everything, give thanks. What's that mean? Does that mean the things that I enjoy that I'm to give thanks for? The things that are precious and wonderful I'm to give thanks for? No, he said in everything.
It's talking about in our life. As Paul put it, he knows how to abound. He knows how to be abased. And he's learned whatsoever state he's in, therewith to be content. Everything, in everything, we're to give thanks
unto the Lord. Why?
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means everything that comes into our life, He has allowed it. He has permitted it for His good purpose, for His will. It's His will concerning us for right now. Whatever state of life we're in. And we're to give thanks to Him for it. Why? Because He knows what He has prepared for us. He knows what His will for us is. And His will for us, who are saved, is only for good. Well, my flesh don't think that's very good. Yeah, our flesh don't think it's very good. But then we can't see the end results either, can we? But we know because God's in control, and He allowed it, the end results have to be good, don't we? Don't we? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And this He said in verse 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, that's verse 4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious over anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Part of our sanctification, being able to praise God in every trial, in every situation that He allows into our life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. He said, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever we do, whatever comes upon us, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, whatever trial we find ourselves in, whatever we do, giving thanks. Giving thanks. Unto God in Christ Jesus. One more. The book of Hebrews. Again. The book of Hebrews in chapter 13. In verse 15. By Him therefore, that is, by Christ, the one that suffered without the gate. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Consider that.
Next time you're so down, and you're so out about this trial or that trial or whatever, that illness or this illness, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about Him suffering without the gate. And His suffering was unto death. He who did no sin, He who was incapable of sin. And He did that for me. And anything that I suffer in this life will not compare to what He endured for me, so that I might have everlasting life. so that I might be free from the condemnation of sin. That'll cause you to be able to praise his name, to offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving unto him. That's what we desire to do on the Lord's Day especially. But we ought to desire to do that every day of the week. Whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God, giving thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we